Good morning, Steve Dales, Pet World on WGN Radio. And yes, I know every show is a very important program, but this one is really important because the two people I have on the telephone, instrumental, let me say that again, instrumental in getting something really important done. You know, Chicago's a big city, right? So when Chicago does something legislatively, anything, then other cities follow. As it turns out, already nearly 400 cities have banned the sales of dogs and cats, and some also include rabbits, at pet stores. And now Chicago is officially again among those nearly 400 cities. This would never have happened in the first place if it wasn't for Carrie Myers speaking up saying, "I've had enough of all of this." And also for Alderman Brian Hopkins coming in to say, you know what? They're ignoring an ordinance, or at least the spirit of the law. Let's do something about it. And that's what Alderman Hopkins has done. But let me go back in time, the way back clock. I have one of those. And we go back about 6 years. Carrie Myers, founder of the Puppy Mill Project, a non-for-profit, said, you know what? I am tired of hearing about these dogs purchased at pet stores, seeing these dogs, these puppies, with so many problems, behavior problems, medical problems. And it wasn't, I don't believe, Carrie, only people who purchased those animals coming to you saying, we need to do something about it, but also veterinarians saying, and veterinary technicians saying, we've had enough of this. Am I right about that? And then what did you do at that point?
Well, I think the people that purchased the dogs and the vets and vet techs, God love them, they're totally behind this. They jumped on a little later. When I started this, I started the organization in 2009. So really the second half of 2009, I decided, well, West Hollywood had an ordinance, Montreal had an ordinance, and Albuquerque had an ordinance. Why can't we do that in Chicago? And everybody was like, you are out of your mind. That is never going to happen. And I said, okay, well, you know what? We're going to try. So fast forward, and we got to the point where everybody was on board, and I did get emails and letters and calls and, you know, information from people who were purchasing these puppies. We managed to get an ordinance passed in the city council, 49-1, to ban the sale of dogs, cats, and rabbits in the city of Chicago. And it wasn't just as much for the puppies, it was what the puppies came from. People have a hard time connecting the dots. So that's what we wanted them to do.
All right, so connect the dots for us, for people who don't know where those puppies sold, anywhere in the country, by the way, or Canada, at pet stores, where they do come from.
Well, they come from commercial breeding facilities. They don't even have to be large. You know, people think scale is what makes the difference. It isn't. They are in cages or little huts. I mean, picture your dog locked up for 24 hours a day. No social interaction, no love, no vetting, no grooming. They throw a bowl of food in. They have a water feeder. And this is how the dogs live. They breed every 6 months, these females breed. When they come into heat, there is no downtime for these poor dogs, and they languish in these horrible, as bad as you can imagine, places. And it's legal. That was the question everybody used to say to me, you know, what, is that legal? Yeah, it is legal. And when I started this, most people didn't even know what a puppy mill was. I didn't know till I started reading about it, and I was just appalled. So that's really the impetus for this. It's not just the puppies, although they come out with multiple problems because they're all inbred, not purebred, inbred. It is really about, as well, or even more so, the dogs, the breeding dogs that are still left in these horrible, inhumane, cruel conditions.
All right. So it was passed, as you said, nearly unanimously at a time when not everything was passed nearly unanimously. I guess that's true today, too. But it was the case then as well. And Mayor Emanuel, at that point, the Chicago's mayor, wanted this, and it all began with Susana Mendoza, then the city clerk. The general public overwhelmingly was for it, But then Alderman Hopkins, three pet stores did what?
Found a loophole that, frankly, none of us anticipated. And in hindsight, looking back, perhaps we should have. And the reason I say that is because there is such a strong financial incentive for the puppy mill breeders to continue doing this. We should have anticipated that they were not simply going to pack up and go away. There was far too much profit at stake for them. And they looked very carefully at our legislation to see if they could find a loophole. They found one, they exploited it, and they went right back into business as if we didn't pass the ban in the first place.
So how did they, Alderman, exploit that loophole?
Well, they formed nonprofit organizations that ostensibly claimed to be rescue organizations. On paper, they looked like legitimate rescue organizations, but they were not, in fact, legitimate rescue organizations. They were false fronts for the puppy mill breeders to basically money launder, although they weren't laundering money, they were laundering animals, and putting the veneer of legitimacy on them so they could continue selling them at retail as if nothing had changed. And I guess you could argue technically they were complying with the law because we did have that exception for nonprofit rescues. But much like the old saying about pornography, you know, I know what it is when I see it, right? It's very hard to define and still respect, you know, First Amendment rights to create art that some may find offensive. The same rule kind of applied here. The fake rescue organizations could wave their documents around and say, look, I'm a 501c3. You know, the IRS says I'm a nonprofit and my name is, you know, Shih Tzu Rescue or whatever. So that makes me a legitimate rescue organization when in fact it was the practice that was defining them. And that's much harder from a legal standpoint to categorize with legislation. So that was the challenge to us to respond to what we knew they were trying to do, which was to find a back door and get around our ban. So I think we are successful in doing that by highlighting their continued practice and showing the overlap, by the way. Many of the illegal breeding operations use the same personnel. They use the same lawyers, the same accountants, the same investors, the same people that were working for the illegal puppy mill. Had their names on all the documentation for the false nonprofit rescue organizations. So we were able to connect the dots that way as well and make the case that the whole thing was just an attempt to exploit a loophole.
And boy, you came against obstructionist for sure. The veterinary associations, the pet industry, and others stood up and said, oh, here's an opportunity. We're going to fight this thing and go back to square one. That's kind of what happened. But through your perseverance and perseverance of Kerry Myers here, Mark Ayers from the Humane Society, and many others, yes, it passed committee, ultimately passed City Hall. But I want to talk about the importance of this to all of you who have dogs and maybe even don't. We'll do that when we come back here on WGN. Kerry Myers, who in my book, Alderman Hopkins, is a hero. I don't know if you give out awards. I think you should, because so many animals will be saved as a result of what you helped to make happen, even though it kind of originally happened 6 years ago. No dogs, no cats, no rabbits sold at pet stores. Certainly they can be and continue to be happily adopted at places like PetSmart and Petco, our animal shelters, legitimate rescue organizations. And one of the arguments against this, which seems to be common sense to me, Kerry, I mean, who wants puppy mills? But the argument is, this isn't going to do anything to the puppy mills and will only drive people online more.
Well, first of all, they're online anyway. That's the next big hurdle. They've been online. You know, they're not stupid. Even if they have a store, they're going to be online. So, you know, I've heard that argument so many times, and it's ridiculous. And it's, why don't you just close down the mills? First of all, it's very difficult. When people ask that question, they really don't know what's involved. But if I can change a store into a humane model, which is the goal here. Of course, they don't take it because there's not enough money in it. Why wouldn't I do what I can do? It's supply and demand, okay? If these stores aren't around and people aren't buying these puppies, of course it's going to affect the miller. You think that miller in Missouri that I found was the same dog mother rescue is not beating her head against the wall because thousands and thousands of puppies of hers aren't going to be sold? Of course it affects their business. Will it close them down? Who knows? You know, that's a very difficult thing to do. In my naivety, when I started, that was my goal. But I will take cutting the head off the dragon to start with. And then online, however we're going to approach that, that would be the next step.
Well, you know, I suppose, Alderman, that as a Chicago alderman, you can't do much to impact directly an organization in Missouri or Kansas or somewhere else, and you don't have control, although I'm sure you wish you did, over the internet.
Well, right. I can't control it through the legislative process. I'm a Chicago legislator, and my laws apply in the city of Chicago, period, hard stop. But what I can do as a public voice is shine the brightest light possible on this industry. This industry cannot survive scrutiny. It simply will not survive if people know the truth, if people know what is really happening. Because the kind of person who is willing to spend thousands of dollars on a puppy is by definition an animal lover, by definition someone who cares deeply about the welfare of animals. And the only way the puppy mill industry can continue exploiting that love is to do it in the dark shadows. The minute people realize what's happening, this industry will go away because it will no longer be supported by people willing to spend money on it. So that's the next step, and that doesn't necessarily respect legislative boundaries. That's something we can all play a part in, is raising our voices and telling the truth about this industry, and that will ultimately be what shuts it down, not an ordinance.
Well, and in fact, to your point, four states have already said no dogs, no cats can be sold at pet stores. Illinois is in the process right now. It may become the fifth state. So if you agree with what Carrie Myers and Alderman Hopkins are saying here, contact your state senator, and now Illinois will become the fifth state. New York may beat Illinois. It's going to be close, you know. And other states are looking at this, too. Alderman Hopkins very eloquently stated, thank you so much, and thank you for all the work you've done on this. And Carrie Myers, I know you've committed more than 6 years to this, and I thank you so much.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Steve.
Dr. Jose Arce is the incoming president of the American Veterinary Medical Association, and we are about to celebrate National Pet Week. Dr. Arce, what does that mean?
Well, National Pet Week is a celebration that we've been holding for 40 years now. We started in 1981. And our point is try to emphasize responsible pet ownership and the things that owners or guardians of animals can do to make the life of their pets better, and so they can live longer lives and they can provide us happiness for many years.
You know, we must be doing something right, because when this was all begun by the American Veterinary Medical Association, people didn't see their veterinarian as often as they do today. Our dogs were oftentimes, not always, but oftentimes, mostly kept outside. Our cats more often kept outside, inside. It was their choice. That has changed a lot in America, hasn't it?
Oh, that has changed drastically. Now the dogs sleep in our bed, and our cats sleep in our bed. And you know, this year, because of COVID, our pets have been with us 24/7 for many families. And part of what we want to emphasize during this week is socialization, because now as people start moving into a regular life and the social distancing ends and the lockdowns end, you know, we might see some anxiety from some of our pets. So some of the things we want to emphasize during National Pet Week is how to ease this transition so we can avoid anxiety. But yes, it definitely has changed from many years ago where dogs were in the yard and they seldom came into the house. Now they live with us, you know, inside the house, but they do live a lot longer. And they also provide a lot of happiness for us. And it's proven that people that live with animals and, you know, the pheromones that are excreted by our bodies makes us happy and also provides a healthier life for humans. So it's something where we're giving to the dogs, you know, a good life, but they're also providing us health and happiness.
You know, it's interesting that you said all that because most people in America have a pet. There are more pets than children in America, but yet no one forces. I don't think the government has yet said, we mandate you have a pet. It's our choice, right? And we must make that choice because it must do something for us.
Correctly. And we want to make sure that you know, if you're going to get a pet, you understand this is a lifelong relationship that you have to, you know, stick to. So we have to know that we are ready for that. We have to know our circumstances, where we live. You know, certain breeds of dogs are better for apartments. Others are more suitable for houses. You know, certain breeds of dogs are very, very energetic, and they need to be walked a couple times a day, maybe for half an hour. So those are things that we have to keep in mind when we get a pet. But definitely, it's something that it's proven that is beneficial for us to have a pet. So I don't know about a government mandate, but it's sure a great recommendation. We've had in the past relationship with the health department of the U.S., and they have recommended having pets because it's good. It's good for our health, and it's also something that provides, you know, happiness and you know, with how the life, the crazy life that we live nowadays, pets provide us, you know, some happiness and eases our tension. So it's a win-win situation.
How important is preventive medicine, preventive care? And in my world, that means not once, but twice a year visits for all of our companion animals. Well, maybe not a little pet lizard, but for most of our companion animals. I'm serious, though. I mean, twice a year for life.
Correct. You know, if we think about, you know, our pets don't live, you know, 90 years or 80 years like some humans do. So, you know, within a year, it's like 7 years of a human. So, you know, what can happen in the body of an animal in half a year, you know, we can think about what could happen to one of us in 3.5 years. So taking those pets, your cat or your dog or even your lizard, to your veterinarian a couple times a year, we will find out, you know, conditions early so we can do something about it. If it takes us, you know, a year to see something and the dog has been suffering from, for example, I don't know, let's say renal disease, you know, those kidneys have already undergone several changes that if we had caught that really early, we could do a lot.
Yep.
So, yeah, prevention is the key, not only because it's going to make the life of our pets longer, but it can also save a lot of money to us.
Absolutely right. Learn more at avma.org. Dr. Arce, thank you so much.
Thank you.
So what do you say? I mean, typically when someone who is in public service is responsible for passing a bill, you say, hey, congratulations. I do want to say that to Alderman Hopkins, but, you know, that's not really the criteria. All he wanted to do was close a loophole here. It should have been easy to do. And what we didn't talk about is exactly why it wasn't that easy to do. Yeah, we talked a little bit about how the veterinary associations, what? That's right. You heard me right. The veterinary associations stood up and said, we don't want this passed. We're fine with puppy mill dogs being sold. It's okay because we have a lemon law. No, that's crazy. A lemon law? Yeah, that law does exist where people don't even know about it. The pet stores don't care about it. But that's not even the point. It is treating a dog like a washing machine. So you get a bad one, you just return it. It's okay. And what happens to that dog, by the way, when you return it? That dog now in need of huge medical and or behavioral care? Who's going to do that? Who's going to pay for it? How does that happen? I don't know the answer to that. Nobody seems to. And that is part of the problem with the so-called lemon law. Oh, others who didn't want it, Alderman Ray Lopez, I don't exactly to this day know why. You want to read more about it? Go back in time, you can read it. On my website, stevedale.tv. Moving forward, though, what I'm happy about is Illinois looks like could be the next state. It would be the fifth state, if I'm counting right, in America to say statewide, no dogs or no cats can be sold at pet stores. Really, contact your state senator, and indeed, it may happen because your voice clearly does matter. We'll talk to you next week, bright and early, right here on WGN.